Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, one-on-ones in a hybrid office environment. The questions this cast answers are, how do I conduct MT03s when my team is hybrid? How do I conduct MT03s in a hybrid environment? What do I need to be aware of in my MT03s when my team is hybrid?
Hey folks, our last two virtual effective manager conferences have been sold out, and so we're adding another one. Starts on November 8th, and it runs 8, 9, 15, and 16. So it's another one of those conferences, virtual conferences, where we do 2 days back-to-back, and the next week we do two more days back-to-back. Those seem to be the most popular, and it's only two and a half hours at a time for the sessions, and you get one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation, and also how to roll out the Trinity. We're sorry that we've gotten sold out. People are learning that managing a hybrid environment or managing remotely is really, really hard. And we hope you'll learn and grow and become a better manager. And we hope to help you do that. Come to the website, sign up November 8th, 9th, 15th, and 16th.
Kate, there may be individuals, professionals, managers more specifically out there who are wondering if they still need to do one-on-ones in a hybrid office environment.
Yeah, or answer being yes.
Yeah, the answer being yes.
I think people might also be wondering about, do I only do some of them?
Right, or with whom, or what's the deal? Some are work from home, some people are in the office. How do we work this?
The venue choice. And so today, we're going to answer those questions. Mm-hmm. With the basic answer being yes, still conduct one-on-ones when you're in a hybrid office environment, whether it's pre or post COVID, because we're recording this in the fall of 2021 when the majority of this question is coming from returning to work after the pandemic. And so you might be in a new situation than you were before, or you might just be in a situation, you know, pandemic not part of the equation, where you have a hybrid team.
Oh, yeah.
In which case, this guidance will work for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There are special considerations here, and we're still conducting our one-on-ones in a hybrid office.
Absolutely. So our outline for today being, yes, continue to share your one-on-ones with everyone. Also, to go a step further, share your calendar. No recommendation in a change of frequency. That we'd recommend you do Zoom for work from home directs and face-to-face for office directs. Then, encouraging screen sharing for Zoom one-on-ones and encouraging work from home directs to ultimately transition back to the office.
And we just released a cast about that, actually, just recently, about what's your responsibility as a manager and communicating to your directs about coming back to the office and requirements around that. So might be something worth listening to as well.
Yep. It was called Back to the Office. We released it on October 11th, 2021.
Mm-hmm. Which, interestingly enough, was also the biggest week for return to office after the pandemic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The cast came out on Monday, and then Tuesday of that same week, which is also still this week, the Wall Street Journal reported that this week was the biggest return to office week after the pandemic.
Oh, wow. Nice. You
know, in terms of record numbers. So first things first, the answer is yes. Continue your one-on-ones with everyone or do one-on-ones with everyone.
Yeah.
In a hybrid environment. Of course, we are going to recommend that you continue your one-on-ones with every one of your directs because trust is the cornerstone of effective managers, and one-on-ones are foundational process through which we build that trust. Yes, there are other ways to build trust. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And MT03 is the most effective and efficient tool that we've ever tested. Mm-hmm. And we've tested a lot of stuff, lots of different choices, some wonky, some not so wonky. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that, hey, this is the best way to establish trust with your team. And what we hear the most when we say things like that or when we say that is, hey, you know, well, I have a staff meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Do I really need one-on-ones? But it's probably worth us highlighting in this case two things, I think. one, that the purpose of a staff meeting is efficiency of communication.
Yes, of communication. Absolutely.
And also that you don't build a lot of trust from staff meetings.
It's right?
Not the place where we do it. Our data show that managers who start doing staff meetings without doing MT03s get about an eighth, 12%, of trust improvement as compared to managers who do MT03s, which isn't really enough in today's world, especially when there's distance involved, when people aren't all co-located to you.
Definitely. Definitely. Now, as a reminder, to go a step further, for those listeners who aren't maybe as familiar who aren't doing what we'd call MT03s or one-on-ones the way we would recommend you do them, mm-hmm. not all one-on-ones were created equal. That is, we recommend a very specific way of doing your one-on-ones in order to get the trust that we're looking for, right? Not all one-on-ones equate to necessarily trust. So here's what a manager tools one-on-one is. It's not just a weekly catch-up. It's not just a recurring opportunity to chat. To get the most value, you need to structure them appropriately. Because why would we bother spending time talking about doing one-on-ones, investing that extra time, maybe if you're not already, if you're going to do it in a wasteful fashion? Mm-hmm. So manager tools one-on-ones are one-on-ones which are scheduled, occur on a weekly basis, and are 30 minutes long with each and every one of your directs, where your directs go first on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Now, them going first is important because we want our directs to have an opportunity to talk about whatever they want to talk about. And while they're talking about whatever they want to talk about, we as managers are taking notes. Mm-hmm. Making these components the components of successful one-on-ones throughout our testing, our various iterations, which can be found in or heard, I suppose, in the podcast, One-on-Ones, the Data, mm-hmm. we point out some of the trial and error that we've done to land upon these recommendations mm-hmm. of one-on-ones. There are lots of ways of doing one-on-ones. These are the ones that gain us the most impact in right. terms of trust.
And nothing about the core components of an MT03 change in a hybrid office environment.
Exactly.
They should still be scheduled, mm-hmm. which we'll talk more about. They should still be weekly. We still let our direct go first. We let their agenda be the most important agenda.
Yep.
And we take notes as we always have. And we bear in mind through all of this that trust is even harder to achieve at a distance. Trust decays over distance and over time. And this is something to keep very forefront in your mind. Even if your directs are distant from you, only part of the week, so they're in the office sometimes and then remote others, you have to keep working at building trust. Mm-hmm. If you stop working at it, it begins to decay. Entropy is always against us. All things decay. Mm-hmm. Again, entropy. And it takes behavior to stem the decline and that degradation of trust, which we've talked a lot about this lately. The Allen curve highlights for us. The Allen curve, if you're not familiar, teaches that communication within organized teams declines as a function of distance. Mm-hmm. And really declines super drastically.
Drastically. It's not a small amount.
Like off a cliff. In a pure office environment, the Allen curve tells us that drops in communication or a reduction in communication as a function of distance actually means that communication essentially drops to zero at a distance of only 50 meters. Mm-hmm. Which isn't that far. Honestly, all someone has to do is be on a different floor than you.
Yeah. Exactly. Within your same office building. Exactly.
Right.
Now, so many managers, so many people generally think to themselves, but what about all these digital communication mechanisms? I mean, we use Slack or we're constantly IMing each other. We have all these other ways of communicating. Surely things have changed since when Professor Allen did his original work in the 70s.
Oh, that's so sweet and such a naive thought.
Right, exactly. And regrettably, we have to think again. That is, Allen repeated his work much later, after the advent of cell phones and email and this profusion of communication that we enjoy today.
Mm-hmm. Digital avenues, right?
Exactly. All these more opportunities. There's these ways of communicating much more easily. And there was no change whatsoever in his findings at all. He concluded that despite the belief that we'd overcome distance with this digital media communication storm, in fact, the opposite is true. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that are distant communicated in this case, the exact same amount, marginally zero at, as Kate mentioned earlier, a distance of 50 meters.
Even if they had all those other tools.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. People don't substitute face-to-face communications with more phone calls or Zoom calls. We communicate more with people we see face-to-face, day-to-day. This is one of my, I have an aversion to the kind of proliferation of or the suggestion of that perhaps an avenue of communication would be more effective. You know, people ask me all the time, should we switch to Slack? We use Slack. I'm not sassing Slack. And people ask me, should we switch to Slack, or will that increase communication? And I think a lot of people do believe that if you change venues somehow, it will cause
it's a problem
people,
with the tool.
Right.
Yeah.
And in fact, no.
It's a problem with the people.
Fully a human problem. Yeah. And thinking about this, knowing that there's some hybrid environments out there and that this is an issue, if you're listening, you might actually want to expand the number of people that you're going to do MTO3s with in light of this degradation of communication via distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's impact on your ability to create trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people might be thinking or taking the term direct too literally. That is, instead, knowing that the communication, the trust degrades with distance, we'd have you ask yourself, who's maybe not a direct of mine, but who makes a significant contribution to my team's output?
Mm-hmm.
There might be some quirks in your organization's work from home policy that is such that adding one or two or maybe even three, depending on how many directs you currently have, new one-on-ones would help you achieve your team's objectives. The most common example I think that we can think of is contractors.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Contractors may be more common for firms, especially now, in light of those of us who are all struggling to hire due to lack of staffing that's available to us. Lots of firms have found themselves in a situation where reaching out to a contractor population is something they need to use now or employ as a strategy for getting work done. Lest you think you should not do one-on-ones with contractors, we assure you, you are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If HR says you can't, they're wrong.
Yes, they're wrong as well.
Ignore that idea. There's no legal limit here, with the exception that there is for coaching, but there's not a limit on doing one-on-ones, giving feedback, or delegating to contractors. So you absolutely can. The other example I can think of is matrixed. If you're in a matrix, you might consider an expansion of your one-on-ones, like the list of people you're involving in one-on-ones. And we have guidance about one-on-ones with peers, one-on-ones with project managers. And so those might be people to consider if you need to think about who you need to communicate more often with and who you need to build trust with. And for building trust, one of the things that you really ought to be doing is sharing your calendar.
Yes. Yeah. Sharing your calendar. Now, this guidance might not be necessary for our longer time listeners. However, just in case, you can't try to build trust with your directs and then not share your calendar with them.
Yeah.
Not, yeah, right? I mean, not sharing your calendar just screams, I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. And we don't just mean sharing free, busy status information. That's a total dodge. I mean, that's the least amount of trust you could try and build. It's pretty lame. Instead, we'd recommend that if you don't share your calendar now, sit down, take a look at your calendar. Are there really that many items in there that are truly confidential and no one can see?
Of course not.
Exactly.
Also, just rename them.
Yeah.
Right? If you have something that comes up that's periodic and you kind of need it to be, you need it to be not obvious what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hey.
The doctor or like whatever it may be.
Yeah. Just change the name.
Just change the name.
And also, y'all, another thing that you can do is like I use two calendars. I use a calendar for
Me as well.
The time that I'm in meetings or unavailable. But then I have another calendar where I just plan the work that I'm going to do during that day. And I don't have that necessarily shared because it's movable, right? There's nobody else involved.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm doing.
It's not a meeting. It's task work.
And I could be available during that time if someone needed to collaborate and have a meeting and things like that. So, and again, just change the name. I mean,
yeah,
I can think of, I've got, you know, two or three things on my calendar that happen once a quarter or every couple of months that I've just, honestly, I have acronyms for them.
Oh, okay.
It's
yeah.
Just like,
totally.
You know, I think my doctor's appointment, like I have my doctor's initials or something.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest the value of the gained trust that comes from sharing your calendar far outweighs the time that you spend to solve this tiny administrative concern, yeah. I guess is
exactly.
the way to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, we bring this up. The reason we're talking calendar here is because sharing your calendar does become slightly more important in a hybrid environment.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the office, we are co-located with colleagues. It's super easy to learn or know about sudden changes in each other's calendar and work more quickly and easily to, I want to say, readjust the way we're planning our work for the day than those who are working from home. Word gets around in the office, right?
Right. Or everyone people see knows. The conference room stuff.
Exactly.
Because it's visible to them. Or
right.
People are
they
in
see
the
you walking quickly down the hallway with pieces of paper. They're like, oh, shoot, Sarah's obviously going somewhere right now. But for those people that are working from home, they don't have those same kinds of cues.
Right.
So we want to communicate more openly with those people as well.
Especially because there's going to be times when you forget to update your calendar. Something happens, there's a change, you forget, and it's okay. So when you share your calendar and you give other people ability to move things, right? Then you can send a Slack or a text or something to a direct who's one-on-one is going to, you know, get harmed or trumped or moved by some last minute change. Maybe it's something that your boss asks for your time and you were supposed to be in a one-on-one with your direct. Hey, we can text or Slack my direct. I do this with Andrew a lot. So Andrew's one-on-one that he and I have together is actually scheduled for Monday afternoons, which is a time when sometimes we have travel issues. Like you're delayed and you can't get to the hotel on time, something like that. Well, great news. Andrew's responsible for the calendar invite. So I just text him and I say, hey, can you move our one-on-one, look at my calendar and find a time where I'm available.
Yeah.
And he can do that. He can see my calendar. He can move things. Also, it's just one less thing for me to do. Cause I did hear last week when I was in Dallas, somebody mentioned to me, well, Kate, I don't know if I want to give people the ability to move stuff on my calendar. First of all, I would argue that people aren't even looking at your calendar enough for it to matter because I get phone calls when my calendar says I'm busy all the time.
All the time.
And also, it's just one less thing for me to do for Andrew or Maggie to be able to move it and help me. And especially when you're traveling. It's like this week, Andrew had a travel issue and he still had to move it because he holds the calendar invite. That could not have been fun for him to have to do it on top of what he was dealing with. But
exactly.
Yeah. Share your calendar. Have your directs help you. And okay, if you're wondering, hey, are you guys only saying this for hybrid offices or work from home or if everybody's in the office? No, this is for everybody. There's no subset of a group where we would say, oh, this is just for you guys. No, if you have a calendar, well, if you're a professional, you should have a calendar. And yeah, you should share it.
Yeah, share it.
So people know where you are, where you're at, so that they know how available you are. They don't need to know exactly where you're at. They need to know if you're available and if they can have time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're HR or legal, or if you're an executive.
Yeah, just share it.
All people.
Just share it. All the people. Exactly.
Folks, I'm going to do something here I don't do very often. I'm going to tease a new product. We are in the final stages of creating Manager Tools Disk so that we can provide you with a better disk product with more detail about how to change your behavior and how to work well and communicate with others. I hope you'll look forward in the next few weeks to hearing more, and you can expect it before the end of the year. So pretty exciting. Stay tuned.
Now, our next point of discussion, the fact that we do not require a change in frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, we didn't have to, I suppose, include this in our guidance.
Right. We assumed people would
have heard obviously.
This so many times.
That seems, why would we change the frequency? Now, we did add it here, though, because we've easily gotten 100 questions over the past months about changing one-on-one frequency in light of the hybrid office and or the working from home office. The answer is now, has always been, and will always be, weekly is the answer. Do them weekly. Our temporarily hybrid world, or permanently hybrid world for some of us, makes this a little more important, even if it is a little harder. That is usually when people suggest, oh, should we change the frequency? More often than not, they're saying, can we do them less often?
Right.
It's rare that someone says, should we change the frequency? I think we should do them 3 times a week now. What do you think? And I mean, I've gotten that question once, but usually people are suggesting that we do them less often in a hybrid situation. And guys, distant directs, according to our data, are more willing to miss one-on-ones that are at a distance, right? We interpret that data to mean the trust erodes because of the distance and the disconnection. And not all directs necessarily feel or know the value the way we do of maintaining or, in some cases, rebuilding that trust.
We also see this as a direct function of the Allen curve, right?
Yeah.
Because we have less face-to-face availability with this person, their communication with us will degrade, decay, drop, and so they're more likely to miss their one-on-ones. You're going to get a higher level of cancellations when you have distant directs. If you've gone to biweekly one-on-ones, a miss or two ends up creating monthly frequency.
Yeah.
And that's not what we recommend.
The worst thing ever.
It's terrible. Terrible, terrible. Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad idea. The only frequency worse than zero one-on-ones is monthly. So if you're at monthly, please cancel them all forever.
Yeah. We don't recommend you not do them, but it would be better.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah, it's just, it's worse. It's worse than doing nothing.
Exactly. It's worse than doing nothing. And that says a lot. Again, I will quote here the podcast on one-on-ones, the data. If you don't know why monthly is the worst thing ever, that podcast will help you understand.
Mm-hmm. So if we're going to do them, and we agree that we should be, the guidance about venue is the thing that, if you've been a long-time listener, probably the only thing that you're really looking for here, because you've heard us talk about, hey, they have to be weekly, and hey, you have to do them and all that stuff. Probably the main thing you're looking for then is, what's the venue? And the venue, it's pretty simple. It's Zoom, if they're working from home, and face-to-face if they're in the office. Mm-hmm. And another way to say that is, if you can do your one-on-ones face-to-face, you should.
Absolutely.
Yeah, remember, our data says a team that's purely work from home and is doing one-on-ones outperforms a team that doesn't do one-on-ones by a lot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But a team that is co-located, mm-hmm. which also does manager tools one-on-ones, outperforms the virtual teams by 10%. Distance matters, even when you do one-on-ones. That 10% differential is for video MT03s, by the way. You notice Kate said Zoom for work from home directs. The video needs to be on when you're using a virtual tool.
Right.
Because the opposite, or that is using a virtual tool without the video on, is basically using the telephone.
Yeah.
And the differential jumps to 25% when you're only using the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
So just using a virtual tool isn't quite enough. Video on is what increases the value when you're distant.
I'm quite certain that there are some listeners who have their own, you know, everyone probably has, if you've been listening for a long time, I imagine that there are people out there who have their specific things that they're sick of hearing us say. And I'm pretty sure that if you're—
That's one of them?
Well, for me, I know that it is video on.
Mm-hmm.
Video on. Turn on your video.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about it all year. I'm sure we talked about it.
Were you going to say harping?
I've been harping on it. Yes.
I know you were going to say it.
That's how I feel about
nag
my own behavior.
Yep.
So it's fully me. I know people are sick of hearing me say this, or eventually some, actually the person who's sick of it is me. I'm sick of hearing myself say it.
I know, because you've said it so many times.
And it's so important. It's so important.
So surprisingly unobvious to people.
It's weird to me. I've also said this a million times, it feels like, this year. If you remember conference calls, if you remember like big conference calls, muting your line on a big conference call used to be a proxy for I'm doing something else.
Oh.
Now the proxy for I'm doing something else is video off.
Yes.
And look, occasionally if you're in a big video call and you turn your video off because you have to do something else, fine. Heaven forbid a manager or a direct in an MT03, which means there's only two people on the call, turn off their video.
Yeah.
Unless you say, I'm so sorry, I have this interruption I have to deal with and you want to turn off your video. Or, I mean, I have turned off my video because my significant other forgot that I was on video.
Yeah.
And because he really loves his Christmas pajamas, it's just, you know,
yeah.
Christmas pajamas in July doesn't really say
professionalism.
Good one-on-one. And video on, which, okay, I'm gonna stop harping for now.
Right? Now, the reason this comes up so much and the reason that we've had to say it so often that we feel like broken records is because so many managers are hesitant toward suggesting that their directs put one-on-ones or having one-on-ones over video.
Right.
To do this well, it's going to mean getting a handle on the scheduling of your one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're going to have to be more attentive to times of day, making sure your direct has the notice they require and it's not the time when the kids come home from school or whatever the situation may be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the hybrid situation may require that you reconfigure some of your one-on-ones because of that. And different companies are taking different approaches on employees' work from home scheduling options. Some are mandating certain days they must be in the actual office. Others are providing full work from home exceptions for those people who are uncomfortable and are not going to be coming in at all. We can't know, because we don't work there, what your organization has chosen to do. Regardless, you're going to have to talk to each direct and find out what days they're planning on being in the office, what days they're planning on being out of the office, so that you can reconfigure, reschedule, move your one-on-ones accordingly.
And please ask them this question in your one-on-one. And then please,
that's very convenient,
ask that they put it on their calendar if they're in the office or not. And also, whenever possible, do your one-on-ones on days when both you and your direct are in the office so that your one-on-ones are face-to-face. Whenever possible, don't do your one-on-ones when you're home and your direct's in the office. And this will happen sometimes. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
We recommend it only happen when it's because of a change, right? That's not the norm and something comes up and people have to shift.
Reschedule.
Right. So be on the watch for directs who want to schedule their one-on-ones when they're not in the office. Tell them that's not the standard. Exceptions, sure. And we'll set a standard, and that standard is face-to-face in the office as much as we can. So this also means not doing all your one-on-ones on Friday when you're working from home. So the expectation is that you'll provide times for your directs when you are in the office such that the opportunity for face-to-face is there. Mm-hmm. Because if you were to do all your one-on-ones when you're out of the office, like on a Friday, for example, if you're just Friday work from home, those one-on-ones are all going to be Zoom or video.
Yeah.
And our data show that video one-on-ones, while good, are not as effective as face-to-face. So sure, they're better than nothing. And hopefully our
standard?
I mean, I hope not. Our professionalism, I feel my professionalism dictates that my approach to effectiveness should not be just, well, it's better than nothing.
That's better than nothing.
It's not a good
bare minimum over here.
It's not a good look. So on the list of things that we didn't think we should have to say, but will, please encourage your directs to the point of mandating to turn their cameras on. Again, we have to just like keep saying it. I know we said we'd quit and then we didn't.
Well, we didn't. We won't.
Remember that a video one-on-one or like a Zoom one-on-one, Skype one-on-one, Teams one-on-one without your video is equivalent to the telephone. And again, you're just cutting into your ability to build trust.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to invest the time, do it to the highest standard possible, because otherwise your investment is a complete waste of time. Now, next on our list then, encourage screen sharing when doing virtual one-on-ones. Now, it's normal when we're in a face-to-face one-on-one for documents to be exchanged. You might have your direct look over your shoulder to work on some scheduling while you're on your calendar. You might be looking at some code together, reviewing a plan together, and it makes no sense for them to recreate a document and print it from an online version just so that you can look at two pieces of paper together while you're sitting at the same desk. That's what our laptops and our tablets and our technology is for, right? It's a good use of technology in a Manager Tools one-on-one to look at screen sharing, right? It's not a good use of technology to do it for note-taking.
If you're typing, you could use technology on a tablet with a stylus.
Good catch. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, absolutely. Which means we want to try and, to Kate's point a moment earlier, one-on-ones that are face-to-face are the most effective. We're going to try and emulate that.
Right. So if we're in a video one-on-one, we're going to replicate that sharing of documents by sharing our screen. And
exactly.
It's so effective. Yesterday, I was on a call with Wendy and I was sharing my screen, but she was looking at the same thing on her browser. And so she was clicking on things, but because I was sharing the screen, it wasn't clicking. And so we were both really confused. Screen sharing is so helpful. Mm-hmm. And I think once people start using it, they'll find that. And if you're not, let's make a switch. Let's encourage our directs to share. Let's share ourselves. Yeah. It's easier to convince those that seem reluctant if you do it a few times first without asking them to do it yet. And it is, it's so helpful. I don't know how people survive without screen share.
I don't know either. And folks, to be clear, your directs have no legitimate reason to refuse sharing their screen if you ask them to.
Right.
If you were in a face-to-face one-on-one and they were describing a project plan and status and you weren't getting a positive sense of their progress or choices, it would be absolutely reasonable and appropriate to ask, let me see your planning spreadsheet. And if they complained about it, they got angry about it, it would be completely appropriate to ask them to go back to their desk and print it out and bring it to your desk for you. Screen sharing solves this for the virtual direct.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. And your feelings of fear or uncertainty or doubt, FUD, as many of us know, right? Regarding our direct's progress or performance are absolutely reasonable and likely to be more pronounced for your virtual directs. It's your job to know. That means it's your job to push for verification if you have doubts.
Which, y'all, if you're listening to this and what you're worried about is like the background on your computer or like stuff like that, just go ahead and change it. I mean, they have all kinds of standard backgrounds and things like that. So this brings us to our final point, which is, as we've spoken about in previous casts, that we want to encourage our directs who are doing work from home currently to transition back to the office. Mm-hmm. Working from home causes a decrease in productivity in teams. So if someone's telling you, hey, we're not seeing a decrease in productivity, just trust us. There's a lot of conflicting factors. People aren't really measuring productivity, and managing at a distance is both harder for managers and a real detriment to productivity. And even though working from home has a lot of positives, it's also possible that it causes lack of like progress in your career. It could give you fewer opportunities in your career if you're working from home, especially compared to somebody who's working in the office.
Right. Wendy Lord, who you guys probably know from Career Tools, if you listen to the Career Tools podcast, recently said, the old boys club is going to be replaced by the in the office club.
Yeah. Working from home may be the right move for your directs, and we can be supportive, but it will come at the cost of their career. So we don't need to cover the rationale again for, we don't need to harp on another topic.
I know, yet another topic that we,
video.
I know, exactly. All right. So as the way we encourage, the way we encourage your directs to come back to the office is to first be there yourself. If your company allows you to work from home 2 days a week, try and make it just one or maybe 3 days or even 2 days a month. Yeah, that'll make your role harder, but that's why we get paid more.
Yeah.
To do that, to do things that are a little bit harder. And ultimately, sooner or later, your company will be 95% back in the office. And if you're not managing your team toward that, you're not leading your team.
Mm-hmm. We got to be on the side of forward progress if we can. Mm-hmm. And hybrid environment, hybrid one-on-ones, it's better than 100% working from home. There are adjustments to make in your one-on-ones, but they're small and they're tactical. In the end, we're coming back. We're going back to the office. And managers who are leaders will adjust now and move to the more productive future ahead of the curve. And hopefully this cast helps you do that.
You bet. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Sarah. That's all for this week, folks. Thanks, and we'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys. We'll be right back.